sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It's your boy Lil Kenny back with another video. Got my man's Dot here. Over exaggerated podcast. Ready to give you another banger. Ready to give you another good one. And boy, do I got a good one for you guys today. Man, oh man. I don't even think I got to say it. For the guys on the audio, you might not be able to see, but I know you can feel the vibes in the air. Dot, you already know. You already know what it is this week. O-H-I-O. You see the logos. You see the jerseys, man. It is what it is. Can't even say it. Rivalry week, man. It's the time.
The game. The game. The game.
The game. And
I'm ready.
I've never been to the game just yet. You know, I haven't got to that level, but I'm definitely on the way. I feel like Cam's been in the area for it. You feel me? So,
yep. Sadly,
he understands how vibes can get when things are getting out of hand.
Man, I was in Ann Arbor when we lost 2 years ago. I'm still waiting on my win back. Even when we lost last year, everybody knows the story of the cheating scandal and this, that, and the third. But like, deep down as a fan, I'm still waiting on my moment where I can kind of get my personal revenge. Like, yeah, we got that win back, because it's a different feeling. I feel like I wouldn't have been as upset if I would have been at Ohio Stadium when it happened. But it was just the fact that I was in Michigan. It was nothing but Michigan fans all around. So. Like, they was just dancing in my turmoil. It's a game week. Like you just said, I feel like the greatest rivalry on earth. Rivalry week, for the people that can't say it. It's the best week of all time to me. You got the Iron Bowl. You got freaking Georgia versus – you got every single game on the list right this week. The Army versus – the Battle of Oregon. The other Service Academy game we've all been waiting on this year. But it's all lit. It's no holds barred this week. I'm hoping we see some upsets and we kind of see this top four shake up, because that's looking way too crazy right now. So let's go ahead and break all this shit down, man. Let's get into it.
Man, oh man. College football pandemonium. Another week. I think if I said it once, I'll say it again. It's just another week of stars showing who they are. I like that. I never actually said that till now, but I think stars are showing who they are. You feel me? Okay. It's this time of year where either you are going to be in New York or you're not going to be in New York. Either you are going to be in the college football playoff or you're not, because there's four for New York and there's four for the college football playoff. And I promise you, only one can, there can only be one winner for both. So
only be one champ.
First we got on this slate, we got the Georgia Tennessee game. A lot of people were thinking this was going to be a lot closer of a game. We were hoping it was going to be a lot closer of a game, but when you look at just what Georgia has with Carson Beck, Brock Bowers coming back off an injury, and then I don't know, it's not that you have to just eventually, I mean, like, already get on Joe Milton, but I mean, he had a pedestrian game, 17 for 30, 147 yards, no touchdowns, a QBR 32.5. I mean, it's on him. The quarterback, he's the commander in charge. I mean, you could blame it on, who's their coach, Cam?
Heupel, Josh Heupel. I think that's how you say it. Okay. I know it's Josh something. I'm pretty sure it's Josh Heupel, yeah.
For sure. So, you already know, like, I'm not just going to automatically hop on the coach, but I mean, this offensive game plan didn't have some of their top receivers even getting involved in. And then Georgia, what's their record now? They haven't, like, I forget how long it's been since they've lost.
29? I don't think they're at 30 yet. I would have seen the 30. I'm pretty sure 28 or 29.
28, 29 games. Like, how many years? I mean, how many days is that, though? Like, over... Oh my God.
They're over 365 now, so they're probably poaching around like 500 something.
Okay. I didn't know if it was full 600 yet or not, but I don't know, man. It wasn't even that crazy of a day for Brock Bowers, but I think the team just kind of showed that they're not necessarily the number one team, but we're definitely not losing to anybody we shouldn't lose to. We're just going to, like, if we are going to lose, we're going to lose to the Alabama. We are going to lose in the playoff, in the national championship. We're not going to. And see, I don't want to, because then that just books the odds of a three-peat if Georgia gets that far. You know what I mean?
Right.
But I think they went back-to-back already.
You're right.
I'm not even. I'm not trying to book it. I'm just saying, once we get, if they get past Alabama in that SEC championship, then you already start opening up the can of worms to the three-peat. You know what I mean? Dave Portnoy might be sitting back with another bet cashed in off of Georgia. He made $300,000 last year. Who? I mean, shit. That is what it is, man.
Gotta get my bread up. Man, Tennessee. I think you hit the nail on the head saying the offense needs to pick it up. But then again, I was going to ask you, you said it when we were on the phone talking to each other in a private conversation the other day. You said if Alabama and Georgia can just kind of take turns back-to-back running the SEC like this, were they really that vaunted of a conference for real? And I said, I just kind of sat back and thought about that. I thought on that the last few days, like, bruh, it does feel like every other team in the SEC just kind of takes turns beating up on each other. Like, but nobody was able to do what I give Georgia their credit. They kind of did catch Alabama and has turned the tables on them a little bit. But like, we all kind of expected one more SEC team to be in this fight with Alabama and Georgia by this time. It's like, so it's not Tennessee. It's not LSU. It's not Ole Miss. Like, will we see a Missouri, South Carolina? Like, is there going to be an SEC team in the future that can get in on this, or are we going to have to keep waiting? That's an ACC team.
Kentucky? You're right.
Kentucky?
My bad. I forgot Louisville was not.
I'm good. It's in the same state.
Facts. I mean, no. As of right now, no. You really can't just book another SEC team to just come in, take over, be good. Like, Jimbo's getting fired. I mean, Texas will be coming over, you know what I mean? So you get some teams coming over, and then you'll start to open up different things. But I think with the way Kirby and Nick have been handling teams just in general, I mean, Nick just lost. Who just lost to Texas? Was it Nick? Who did Alabama lose to this year?
Yeah, they lost Texas. You got it right.
They did? Okay. So I mean, he's already taken losses to them. So, I mean, if they come over and then you've got to play them twice a year because you play them once and then you see them maybe again in the SEC championship somehow, maybe. I mean, if you lose to them once, then you're out of the SEC championship. They control their own destiny, and then they're playing Georgia. And then they get an actual shot to play Georgia, then what happens? You know what I mean? So,
thanks.
I mean, with these new teams coming over and things like that, you got to hope for better competition, because it's obviously not coming from in-house. And yeah, it's down south and they get some of the best players and recruits from each team and yada yada, but when has Mizzou ever been that tough? Like, before, you know, just coming up these past few years, like South Carolina, they've always had some good players coming up out of there, but when have they ever been really that good? So yeah, they're creating NFL draft prospects, and it transfers over because of, like I said, of the size and the location and things like that. But as far as gameplay goes and really talking about the Big Ten, I think they do sleep on the Big Ten and some of these other conferences just because of those things, because the Big Ten can produce just as many NFL players as the SEC can, all while still structuring better competition in-house.
Okay. I like it. You could say the Big Ten is
top heavy, but it's not.
This is just me going out having, I don't got numbers in front of me. I didn't do a deep dive on this beforehand, but I do feel like just lately we've seen Auburn and, you know, LSU, Ole Miss. We've kind of seen them go out of conference and even struggle with, Ole Miss had a tough game at Tulane this year, like Tulane. You know, like, just the SEC has not been as scary as they normally are. And I just, when you said that on the phone the other day, I was sitting back thinking on it at work, like, man, what? That is crazy, bro. Like, Georgia did just kind of walk in and start blowing these teams. And now it feels like these teams are right there, but nobody can just even give these guys a close game. And I'm sitting here like, okay, how scary are these conferences really? But like, I'm sorry, but I really do believe Michigan, Ohio State, Penn State, like, they would put up more of a fight than those good SEC teams that we're talking about. A lot of people think those SEC teams would smack Penn State. So that's just me and my opinion, though.
All right, man, moving forward. Ohio State, Minnesota. Ohio State getting it done out there. McCord looking not too bad. I mean, if you was betting on the Buckeyes, you might have missed out on a little bit of ducats, depending on how you put your cheese in.
Sadly.
But it's not about that sometimes. It's about getting ready for your opponent. Travion Henderson, 15 carries, 146 yards, 2 touchdowns. Emeka Ibuka, 5 receptions, 83 yards. Kyle McCord, like I said, 212 for 2 tutties. Not that bad of a day for Kyle. Maserati Mauve ended up with, let me see, I don't want to say, yeah, it was 3 for 30. But he did still score a touchdown. So sometimes you still got to, and Stover, 4 for 26 with a touchdown. So sometimes when you go to your playmakers and you still get what you need, it's a good day. Yeah, Marv, Stover didn't make us the money, but this is what you want from out of your team, especially coming into the game, the week. It's just one of those things where I don't know at the end of the day if – actually, I do know. I do think this can be consistent. We've been ramping up. And does Marv need to have the game of his life against Michigan? Probably not. But does, can he have a stat line like that and still put up a dub? Like, that's all we need. You know what I'm saying? So you want a guy to go up there and have the 100-yard game against Minnesota going into the game, but it's just not. It's just not – it's not always going to happen, pretty much what I'm saying.
Facts. I'm glad they got Emeka Ibuka rolling. The one thing that's frustrating about this passing game to me this year is it feels like we did not get the game where it was like every single weapon was utilized. And, like, me as a fan of being a fan of the team – getting a little bit older and understanding football more, like, when you have a quarterback like CJ Stroud, you can take advantage of all the weapons you have on the field. So I was kind of waiting for that game where Kyle McCord would kind of spread the ball around. And the one game it was Marvin, and the next game it would be Stover, and the next game it would be Emeka, but it never all came together. So it was a little bit frustrating that Marvin couldn't get going, and Cade Stover got back from the injury, got his little 4 catches, but didn't really have 2 out of a day. But Emeka Ibuka did have the day, so I'm not really tripping on the passing game like that, like you just said. You can't always get every single receiver to catch every target. And Travion had 150 yards, a 75-yard touchdown, and another. So it's not like he made their lives any easier. So I'm not going to get on him, but it does frustrate me a little bit that going into this Michigan game, Kyle McCord left a lot of freaking stats on the field, a lot of points on the board. And I don't know. In my heart of hearts, this may just maybe me being a biased fan, but I just feel like we've left a lot of points out there as an offense. We have not shown what we can do. And if we can really go out there and spread the ball around, come out with a good freaking first half and get a 10-point lead, I really think we can be in a position that we haven't seen in a long time. Like, the past 2 games against Michigan, we have not had more than a 7-point lead, I don't think. In both of the 2 games, like, we got to put the pressure on them this year. And I feel like we just have to come out and get a 10-point lead, 13-point lead, like, make that sideline sweat a little bit, make them have to get out of their game plan, which is running the clock down and all that stuff. So I feel like we can do it. I really do. It does suck that the passing game didn't really have that kaboom game, but I ain't tripping on it. Going into this week, Travion looks like a freaking beast since he came back, bro. Like, I know I'm not trying to tackle him. It's going to be a game for the ages. I can't wait. I can't wait to talk my shit to Michigan fans when we do win, because I'm confident this time coming around. And I'm going to say it like it is, brother. cheaters cheat, and we could ball don't lie. You feel me? We about to find out what the story is this year. You feel me? Can't wait.
Man, ball don't lie. All right, moving forward. Michigan, Maryland. Probably the closest game they played all year. Talia tried to give them a run for their money. The Viloa man himself, 247, but ended up throwing two interceptions. And Maryland becomes the 1,000th win in the Michigan program history.
Man, that's gotta hurt. man. Talia.
28 carries. Yeah, Talia. Oh, Talia.
I was about to. What did he do, bro? What did Talia do?
No. He didn't do. I was about to bring up a Blake Corum stat.
Oh, man.
Just to be fair. But Talia. Oh, my God. Talia. Oh, my God.
Talia.
You're Talia after this, motherfucker. 8 rushes for negative 43 yards? No. 8 rushes for negative 43 yards. Talua.
Negative?
He averaged negative 5.4 yards a carry.
That's so bad. No, he was not the second leading scorer
To put that in perspective, JJ McCarthy had 2 carries for negative 7 yards with an average of negative 3.5. So...
But Talia's long
his longest run was literally 7 yards. So like he had a 7 yard run and then still got bopped back.
Now one or two of those sacks were like 11 yards minimum. Like, and he might have got a third one in there. Like, good lord, that's so many yards backward. But negative I will say about that game, people probably don't remember, but Ohio State came out down 10-0 against Maryland in that first half. We didn't score on the first play. We didn't score on the first drive. Maryland came out. We went for it on fourth down in our territory and didn't get it. And Maryland came out and scored on a freaking one-handed catch in the back of the end zone, 7-0. Then we didn't score again. They got a field goal, 10-0. And we ended up getting a pick six that made it 10-7, which gave our offense kind of the breath of fresh air needed to go win the game. So, like, people weren't giving Maryland the credit they deserve coming into that game, bro. Like, they deserve to be a team that was good enough to give Michigan a game. Like, they gave us one. So I was kind of waiting, like, Talia might do it, but the defense might just be too much. It turned out, bro, the defense was a little bit too strong in the beginning of the game, but slowly but surely, Maryland just kept fighting, staying in it, never looked out of it. What's crazy is against Maryland, Purdue, and I think the other school is – I forget who the third school is, but there's another third subpar Big Ten team that Michigan averaged less than 4 yards per carry against. And I think I believe so. That might not be it, though. But then Penn State, they only averaged, I think, like 4.7 yards. So it was like it wasn't even as much as – basically what I'm trying to say is Michigan isn't getting those 60-yarders, 70-yarders, 80-yarders in the third quarter that just totally blast their stats out of the water and make it look like they're – the greatest thing since sliced bread running the football. So they're not getting those runs no more. And through that, Maryland was kind of able to keep it a game at the end. They dropped a few huge interceptions, bro. Like, they could have won the game, dog. Like, basically what I'm trying to say, Maryland was right freaking there. The score might say one thing. If you watch the game, you might have been a little bit bored just watching Maryland throw its way every chance they had. Like, they had a chance. And that's all you want with a team like this. Like, nobody believes in Maryland at the beginning of the year. They got there. They were the only teams that gave Ohio State and Michigan a run for their money, and everybody thought it was going to be Penn State. So, good season for them. They might be the team that plays against Ohio State or Michigan in the Big Ten Championship. Mike Locksley, black coach, you feel me? Talia Tagovailoa, NFL genes in him. We'll see how far that team goes. I think they can do a lot. Okay.
Man. Moving on to the heartbreaker of the weekend. Jordan Travis going down with a broken leg injury. And honestly, guys, I didn't even see it happen. I was almost asleep all weekend. And to see my, Like, I was rooting for the kid. More for national championship, non-biased national championship ranks. But not this. Not to go down. Not even having a chance at the Heisman anymore. You wake up with your quarterback. You go down without him. You still win 58-13 against the North Alabama Lions. Like, what was it for, coach?
What was it for, coach? You really wonder, huh?
The money?
Nah.
Like is this where betting comes in?
For one, you hate to see that shit, like, point blank, period. Like, just happened to Nick Chubb earlier in the year. Damian Harris? Yeah, I think it was. Damian Harris got carted off on the ambulance. You just, every time it happens in football, bro, just that injury where they stop the play and they really zoom in, like, you just hate it. You hate seeing it. I hate seeing it. And especially when it's a kid like Jordan Travis who just might be having a Heisman season, revived the whole school. It's just storybook. Literally fairy tale, and then it's like the fairy tale turns into a Netflix drama because he breaks his leg. So tough. It's a lot of debate going on right now that I don't even feel like getting into about whether Florida State deserves to get in if they finish undefeated without Jordan Travis at quarterback. I don't really care. Like, honestly, I think the four best teams will get in and they'll have a chance. If Florida State's one of them, they'll be in. Like, just tough. Genuinely tough. That's a good-ass player, good-ass quarterback. I enjoyed seeing Florida State's chop back. They got the fans into it. They bought in, and now it's like, damn. Like, bro, we finally got our guy, and it's just, damn. It's all good. There'll be better days in Florida State.
But, I mean, like, now we got to definitely win the ACC. Like, if we don't win the ACC, like, even now they're saying they're keeping us out just based off the quarterback. Like, we're not even a national championship team without him at the helm? Like, no. We've seen... I mean,
in my heart of hearts, bro, I don't think they're... That's what I'm saying. In my heart of hearts, I don't... You're right. I can't even go against the grain on that because my team did it. And if they would have held us out, we wouldn't have had a chance. So, but it is just like... It's tough. It's really tough. Because, like, if we do get an ass whooping in that first game and Florida State loses to Georgia, goddamn, 42-14 because we wanted to let Florida State go in there and let them have their chance. Like, it's going to be a lot of shit's always cool until it happens and TCU gets slapped 62-14 in the national championship and everybody's wondering, how did they get here? Why did we let TCU in after they lost in the Big 12 championship? So that's just my opinion. I do kind of lean more towards the side of should we get another team in there, but like if they finish undefeated and nobody else does, shit, put them in there, dog. Like I said, I don't care if they're the best team, they're the fourth best team, they're the fourth best team. Jordan Travis, bro, prayers up. That sucks. And I think Florida State is in a much better position because of the season he just had there, and every single quarterback that goes to Florida State, we'll got to have to kind of give him his flowers and everything. So, good season. Tough finish to it. Hopefully, we see him getting drafted because that's a good-ass fucking quarterback.
No doubt. Want to move forward to the rain game out in Washington or out in Oregon.
They're calling it the rain game?
It was raining. It was pouring.
Wow.
But guess who wasn't snoring?
Wow.
Michael Penix Jr. shows out in Washington's big game versus Oregon State. ESPN headline. He did his thing, man. It wasn't too bad of a game. It was 22-20. He actually went scoreless in the second half. But Michael Penix, if you look at these stats, yeah, it's scoreless. That's what I was about to say. Technically, if you really deep dive and start looking at these stats, it wasn't that good of a game for Penix Jr. 13-28, 162, 2 touchdowns. Like, that's just not normal for him. You know what I mean? He had 3 rushes for 22 yards, but he did have a rushing touchdown. He did get Rome involved 7 times for 106 yards and 2 touchdowns. Okay, Rome. Doing the damn thing. Then we got DJU. It was a bad day, man. He was the one affected by the rain so much. He was looking good at first, but then 164. He was 15 for 31. Two interceptions is what really did him in dirty. One of them was a tip pick, but the other one was just a true interception. It sucks, especially when your running back goes out there and has 26 carries, 123 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Like, he's scoping for the team all night, the kicker and the running back. But DJ couldn't help out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. As a football coach, when people say complimentary football, you want your defense to set your offense up to win, basically. And basically, you need your passing game to work off your running game and your defense and all that, your special teams and everything. So when you get, like you just said, 123 yards, 2 touchdowns, that means the running back and the offensive line were about business, working. Like, down there, really, they came to play. So when you, as a coach, when you get back and watch that film, you look at it, you're wondering what happened on the defensive side of the ball. You're wondering, why couldn't we get things going in the air? Why were we in position to win the game with our running game, but like couldn't drive the rest of it home? And like, this is why making sure your team is improving in the early part of the season is so important, because you get to this part of the year where you just need one big play or one person to step up or just one different way of operating. And it was like Oregon State just could not get that one play they needed to get. And they let Washington run away. Now, I'm not even gonna say the word let, because Washington handled their job. They did not take this game from Washington, and Washington is not about to give them their playoff season. We're not about to do that. We should have did that. We were gonna do that, but 5 weeks ago. We're here. You gotta take this shit from us. So we tried to set DJU up for it 2-3 weeks ago. It's I'm so sorry, because I really believed in it, man. I thought he had a chance. It all felt so right. Clemson's gone. He's here. This is his chance. He didn't take it.
Yeah.
Hopefully we see you at the combine, DJ, but hey, man, good riddance if we don't, bro. I'm sorry.
He's got one more shot against Bo Nix. The Battle of Oregon. Come on, y'all.
He deserve it, bro. It might rain again.
Don't bring up the weather. All right. Look, man, moving forward. Don't want to get stuck on anything too crazy, because something too crazy happened with Bo Nix. I was telling people, man, look, 4 o'clock game, 3 hours behind. It's 1 o'clock. He was showing the NFL scouts what it's going to be like to see Bo Nix in a 1 o'clock time slot. Whether it's on Saturday or Sunday or not, he goes out there and scores 21 points in the first quarter, 21 points in the second quarter, and then didn't really do too much playing after that, man. 404,
yeah.
6 touchdowns. Took so much clout away from Bucky. Not even clout, like just money away from my pockets, man. I was so close. Buck, all you had to do was go score a touchdown and get 100 yards, man. He had 11 carries for 63, though. It was Troy Franklin, though, doing what Troy does, breaking records. Same with Bo Nix, breaking records. Troy Franklin, 128 on 8 receptions, 2 touchdowns. Just a great day. I mean, Tez Johnson even went out there and got 6 for 80 with a touchdown. Just a great day for the guys. I mean, been betting on this team all year. Unfortunately, this wasn't the week to really get the money. But, I mean, you guys see Bo Nix is really trying to he wants to be a Heisman. If no one's going to give him the Heisman, he's going to try to put up the stats himself. If no one's going to put him in the NFL and put him first-round pick because of however old he is, then this is it. He's just going to sling these. He's going to sling it all day.
Right.
I mean, it is Arizona State. It's not the best team, but.
No, 6 touchdowns. Still 6 touchdowns. I think with these past 3 shows, I feel like we've done all the hyping up for Oregon and Washington that we can. It's almost like a, I almost want to call it the Michigan versus Ohio State junior right now. Like, we're kind of just waiting for that game, those two teams to get back on the field and run it back. And Bo Nix, 6 touchdowns, great day, Heisman day, probably going to go to New York. We can sit here and talk about the same things we have for the past few weeks, but, like, we all know what we're waiting on. I do kind of feel bad, but I don't really feel bad because we was talking before the game, bro, and I was telling you, like, bro, Bucky can't go out there and just go off for 100 every fucking week, bro. Like, he's – at some point, we got to have a bad game. And you were like, no, bro, not Buck, bro, like, not mad at you. He had 63, 11 carry. You were, if he would have probably got 3 more yards, he might have broke one of them bitches off for 50, bro, and hit over for you and got the touch. My heart breaks for you, bro. I'm sorry you couldn't get your money, but hey, bro. You can't expect me to go out there every single week and get 100 of them bitches, coach. It's a lot.
Just
it's a lot.
Slinging
bro.
The rock out there, bro. They were just throwing the ball, doing whatever.
Come on, man.
Come on now.
They didn't need my legs, bro.
Man. Look, we got to transition over to Texas versus Iowa State. Just breeze over real fast. I mean, Quinn Ewers doing what Quinn does. It was 26-16. 281 from Q Quinn. I'm weak. 2 touchdowns. And, I mean, he got Xavier Worthy involved. He didn't do nothing too crazy. Texas, do they actually have any type of shot getting into that playoff with the two high-powered teams in front of them?
But I don't think
Washington
so.
Washington and Oregon, my bad. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think so. I just... I feel kind of more upset at Texas because it feels like ever since they took that loss to Oklahoma, it's like they have just went into a coast mode. Like, every game has been close. They are not – I feel like they should be smacking the teams they're playing. Like, they were smacking the teams they were playing beforehand. So, they came in there and looked really good against an Alabama team that's looking really good at this point in the season. Like, you can see which teams – where teams are at mentally right now in this part of the year, bro. Like, Alabama took that loss in week 2. They could have packed it in and said, well, we're done. Our quarterback sucks. It's never going to work out. They didn't do that. They kept fighting. And, like, Texas, opposite. They got a big win. You could see them kind of get satisfied. They went out there and lost a close game against Oklahoma. It's like ever since they kind of just been, well, our season's over. We took our loss. It's over with now. They moved us down. And feel like, bro, you got to keep fighting, bro. You never know what happened. Like, Washington and Oregon could lose before they get to the Pac-12 championship, and now, boom, now that the winner of that game has to win, and now you're in. So,
yeah,
I'm upset, LSU. I feel like Texas could be playing a little bit harder right now, putting the beat down on teams a lot more, playing with a little more fire and swag just for the heart of the game. But they got to figure that out because that comes down to culture, and that starts at the top, point-blank period.
No doubt. I mean, is this it for Quinn then? Like, he's like, this has to be it. Like, so we got Arch Manning out there. We're not sitting Arch for another year.
Mm-mm.
And if we do,
hell no.
Like, does Quinn transfer again, or does Quinn have to go to the league? Like, is Quinn even in NFL prospects' minds? He did take an injury again. Like, what are his options?
Quinn, I think Quinn has to go to the NFL unless there is the give Arch another year route, which I don't see how that benefits Arch in the slightest, especially with NIL. Like, I feel like that was a big part of going to the Texas market, which was away from Georgia and Alabama. When you go there, you're a part of Georgia's brand. You're a part of Alabama's brand. Like, you don't get to be Arch Manning. Like, you're there within the system. So at Texas, it's going to be a spectacle, like, genuinely, just because Texas is already a spectacle in itself. It's one of those McDonald's brands of football. Quinn, I feel like he should go to the league. The kid has the arm talent. He has the arm strength. It comes down to, like you just said, they're going to ask him in them interview rooms, hey, man, what was going on out there at Texas? Why weren't you on the field? Seems like when shit gets a little bit tough for you, you find a way to not be on that field, bro. So what's going on? They're going to ask him about it. He's going to have to answer. I do think he'll get drafted still. I don't think he's done anything to lose that chance. It would be nice to see him get, like I just said, though, like it feels like they've kind of packed it in offensively. It would be nice to see. He was just hurt. Like, go out there, get some highlight plays, go have some fun, give the Texas fan pages something to post about, man. Like, have pride in it. Have pride in being a Longhorn, because like you just said, bro, like, it doesn't end with Quinn Ewers, and it didn't end with that loss to Oklahoma. We got Arch Manning. We got shit to look forward to. So it's like, let's just play like that. And it feels like that's not what's happening out there in Texas. But they'll figure it out, though. I don't mean to keep rambling about them.
No, you good. Ah, Nuga, Chattanooga, playing against Alabama. Now, look, Milrow. Milrow. You never cease to amaze me, man. Y'all put up 66 points. It was 66 to 10. 21 points in the first, 17 in the second, 14, third in the fourth quarter, man. Jalen Milrow, 197 yards, but three touchdowns. I'm trying to look. He actually was not involved in the rushing game today. I am so surprised. But no. And they played two other quarterbacks in that same game.
So, oh, that's confusing.
Yeah, it is. One guy, Ty Simpson, had one carry for 78 yards. Damn.
Oh. That had to be Geno.
But it was Geno Appleberry from Chattanooga with 22 rushing yards. Or, my bad, 22 carries, 104 rushing yards, and one touchdown, who led the day on rushing. Okay.
Yeah, I'm not sure what, and I did see somebody put on Twitter, so our SEC teams just booking weak talent and late in the year to pad stats for the Heisman. And I'm not gonna lie, it does feel like that a little bit, but then I kind of sat back and I thought to myself, okay, like, you take that week 11 cupcake game, you come in, you can kind of work on stuff that you think you need to work on going in later to the year. So, like, instead of let Jalen Milrow come in here and run all over Chattanooga and turn it up and do what we already know we're good at, let's come in here and try to work on some of the things we've been trying to get better. So I sat there, thought about them, like, eh, okay, they're playing Chattanooga. Let them get that game out the way. You want to see Jalen Milrow come in there and Alabama do what they do, especially if you're a better. Like, sometimes, bro, we just come in there, try to get better, get some things on film, see what it looks like against a weaker team that we can kind of get away with doing it. We know we're not going to lose the game if it gets down to that. Come on, man. That's what I'm saying. Like, we don't need all that sometimes, bro. That's all it is, man.
From that angle, it's still kind of egregious. I mean, if I get it, if you're like, look, like this is for Chattanooga. Like, Chattanooga's fucking, like, hold on. Let me look at the record before I call them ass. They're 7-4. They're not even that ass. But, like, no one's going to see Chattanooga football this late in the fucking year. It's cold. Like, they're just, their team, like, no, bro. I mean, okay, Chattanooga is in Tennessee. So
no, it's cold out there right now. Trust me.
Like, there's still no point, bro. Like, Alabama, we get to go to Alabama this late in the year. You probably still had some Chattanooga fans out there, like, faithfully, really in the stands. So, honestly, that's all I'm saying. Like, it's just one of those things where you can't just, like, yeah, you don't want to, like, you shouldn't be scheduling these games late in the year. It should be fucking, like, bro, the Pac-12 pays all fucking 12 conference games. Like, and these guys are playing Chattanooga in week 11? What the fuck? That's bullshit. But, like you're supposed to get all those games out early in the year when it's warm. When it's cold, you grit and grind against the motherfuckers you're supposed to fucking play. Whether
but, I mean, think about it like
warm
this.
Or cold or not.
Think about it like this. And I only use this example because it happened to my team and it made me understand a little bit more why Nick Saban came out and said he does it this way. Ohio State schedules Oregon early in the season 2 years ago. They lose that game at home. So then we go on later in the season to lose to Michigan. We have two losses on our resume now. We get held out of the playoff because we had two losses on our resume.
Yeah.
If we beat Oregon, we probably get in the playoff. But, like, us playing Oregon and beating them would have just been another day at the office. Like, that's what you're supposed to do. You're Ohio State. But losing to Oregon, and that literally gave Mario Cristobal a name. It gave, like, five players an NFL shot. Bo Nix wasn't there at the time. Oh, no. No, I don't think Bo Nix, even if he was. Just a fact. Bo Nix is probably there off of that right now. And it's just kind of like they jump-started their program off of that day. And we didn't really gain anything from playing that game. Like, even if we would have won it, it would have just been like, ah, we beat Oregon. Hooray. And then it would have been moved on in history another day.
Facts.
I feel like that's why these SEC teams, I've heard Nick Saban literally say, like, I am a fan of scheduling bigger games, but I'm not going to do it if I know the bigger teams in the SEC are going to take advantage and schedule an Austin, PA, a Chattanooga, a New Mexico State. I'm going to do the same thing because I'm not going to go play USC and lose and then get punished because I wanted to give the fans what they want. You see? So you guys think we're being soft. Like, we're really just trying to be smart. You call it what you want, soft, smart, whatever it is. Like, at the end of it, you do got to give the coaches that leeway. Like, okay, like, everybody is taking advantage of those stupid rules. So it's on the NCAA. Like, you want them to see the best teams play? Us as fans got to give the NCAA a way to fucking see that, which I feel like they will start doing it more. We're seeing these teams go more out of conference and play good games. Notre Dame, Ohio State this year. It is something that needs to be addressed. Week 11, Alabama versus Chattanooga. Like, we're in the thick of college football right now. It's all on the line. And we just played a whole bunch of games that literally do not fucking matter. We all knew the outcomes of them going in. That's week one shit, bro. Like, week one, week two, week three, we get that. But we're here, bro. There's no reason to look at the schedule and see Alabama versus who? Where's that school? What state is that in? I think that's it. Like, it's stupid.
Don't lie. Ah, moving forward, another SEC matchup. We had Missouri versus Florida. Missouri just moving forward, man. 33-31. Brady Cook, 331 yards, a touchdown. Cody Schrader, 23 carries, 148 yards, one touchdown. Okay. I'm pretty sure his over was at 114. And then L. Burden, 9 receptions on 158 yards.
Okay.
Mizzou. Wow. There's been money in Mizzou for a few weeks now.
Why are they literally a better offense than Ohio State right now? Wow.
We just, wow. I'm weak. I don't know who their coach is, but he's definitely playing a lot more risky. You know what I mean? Like, they're generating a little bit more of a consistent offense.
I mean, I was literally just getting ready to ask you what your boy Schrader did. Like, 23, you said, on
48, yes, sir. And a tug.
When you run the ball like that and you get the 300 yards passing on the back end with the touchdown and the 158 in the touchdown for your receiver, like, bruh, we got NFL team scouts starting to look over here, wonder what's up with this, what's going on with this quarterback? Because that, just those numbers, you can kind of see, like, okay, that quarterback can run a system. He can get the most out of a system, I should say. So it's just the fact that it's happening in Missouri and it never really has before. Connor Schrader, Cook, man, they better build statues of him out there because I don't know if this is the jumpstart Missouri needed in their program. I don't. I'm not saying this is the this is how the future is gonna be, but like, bruh, crazy year, wild. They're getting stats. Could we give Brady? Could we give Connor? My bad. Could we give Schrader a little running back award for the year? Like, is he doing good enough, or is there just too many names ahead of him?
That is Amarion Hampton's award to lose.
Wow. Marion. Did he even have 100 last week?
158. Might have been 170. Damn,
Marion. You can have it, bro.
Look, we got to move forward to an ACC matchup that's not North Carolina. It's Louisville versus Miami. Tyler Van Dyke not getting it done. It was 38-31. Louisville. Do I feel bad? Not really, man. Even though Miami had all the stat, the top stat liners. Van Dyke, 327, one touchdown. Matt Fletcher, 17 carries, 126 yards, two touchdowns. Restrepo? I don't know how you say that man's last name. Eight receptions, 193 yards, and a touchdown. I better learn how to say his last name. Mm. That boy was turning up.
Yeah, he was.
Jesus. I mean, I don't even understand how Louisville ended up winning. Jake Plummer and the boys got it done, though. Jake, you're 10-1. You have a chance. You control your own destiny. You're not making it nowhere crazy, but you can win the ACC.
Oh, my gosh. We're getting the control our own destiny speech again, y'all. Look, Louisville is not – they have, I think, one player projected to go in the top three rounds of the draft. So I'm not saying Louisville sucks or anything like that, but, like, as far as talent going to the next level, there's not a lot out there in Louisville. So I do feel like when they play those teams with talent – going to the next level, it will be a little bit harder for them to do what they like to do. They did beat Notre Dame, obviously, but good win over Miami. Tyler Van Dyke, another loss. Mario Cristobal, another loss. I just did my whole rant on them last week. Not going to do it again. It does make you wonder, bro. Like, do y'all even pose a threat in this new ACC without Clemson? Because Clemson's gone. Feeling like this, we've been waiting for this shot our whole damn decade. The whole decade. We talked about Miami being back. We finally got past all that sanction time. Florida State just took our shot. So, another team from Florida at that. So, they'll figure it out. Tough loss. 38-31. That probably could have went either way. But it's like, bro, it's Mario, you got to stop losing these games, dog. Point blank period. Your job is to win. Your job ain't to come out here and make better, man. Your job ain't to come out here and teach student athletes how to have a better step forward in life, brother. Your job is to come out here, win football games. So get it done. Point blank period.
No doubt. No doubt. Few more games I want to highlight. Going to be bopping around real quick. Big Ten game. Back to a Big Ten schools. Penn State versus Rutgers. Only want to say this because it was Drew Alla taking out Greg Schiano, 27-6. I don't know. It wasn't a good game. Oh, he actually, Drew Alla went out. I just lied. Drew Alla didn't take no one out. They probably called Sean.
He played who?
They ended up.
Who did you just say?
I said they probably called Sean Clifford back up. They didn't call.
I was so spooked. I thought he put up stats. I was about to cry. No, he didn't.
Oh my goodness. The crowd erupted when he came back on. Sean was probably sitting there like, bro, what? My Sean.
10th year of eligibility.
Could have stayed one more year, just sat on the bench behind Drew for this one moment. Like, bruh. Anyways. They put in Bo Prebula. Prebula.
Prebula? Wow.
Pribula. But, yeah, man, it wasn't that good of a game for Drew, man. I'm upset. Hopefully he can bounce back. It's a good thing it's late in the year and he doesn't have too much to play for, but, I mean, they do have a bowl game coming up, a good one, so. Go ahead.
The only thing I was going to say is Drew Aller was very hyped up coming into this season and has not lived up to, like, any of that hype, and I'm starting to wonder why he was hyped up coming into this season. Simple as that.
Sick. Moving forward, man. I want to talk about LSU Tigers going against the Georgia State Panthers. Like we said, just scheduling these games, this is definitely for Heisman hopes. Jaden Daniels knew what he was doing coming into this game. 413 yards, 6 touchdowns. Ended up with 10 carries, 96 on the ground, 2 touchdowns. So we called it out. Cam called it out. I mean, like, can he have an 8-touchdown game just like Dylan Gabriel did the week before? And they literally played him all night, and he literally showed why, one, you shouldn't be playing teams like this late in the year, and two, why maybe he should be the Heisman.
Facts.
With three receivers going over 100 yards that day. Malik Nabers 140, BTJ, 103, and then Kyren Lacy 101.
Wow. That's insane. What a game. What a year. What a bad way to almost end the season with that game. I mean, like, okay, obviously I'm a fan before anything, like, of football. Like, not of Ohio State. Obviously, I love my team more than any fucking team in the league. But, like, I like seeing good football. It's cool seeing players go out there and put up 8 touchdowns and 500 yards and running backs get 200 yards on 10 carries. Like, trust me, I like seeing that shit too. But at some point, bro, like, I want to see good teams going up against at least somewhat good teams, bro. Like, there's no point in playing Georgia State for LSU. And the only people that gain anything is Georgia State if they beat y'all, or the fact that they're getting paid to come even play the game, period. So it's just cool. You got 8 touchdowns. You got 500 yards. You got to post the stats and post a few highlights and have the Heisman candidates talking about it when the stats come up. Or the Heisman voters, I'm sorry. But it's just at some point, bruh, like, there's no reason. We're too far into the future of what college football used to be like. What we used to talk about way back in the day, way in the future, we're not going to have super bad team. Every team's going to be closer and closer. Like, we're too far into that to where these teams still need to be going to play weak-ass D2 schools, FCS schools. Like, there are more than enough good teams in all these Power 5 conferences where they could be scheduling with each other. And I don't really understand it. Like, they could have easily played West Virginia. That's another bad team. Like, that's a bad, good team. Like, they're going to have a better roster than what they played yesterday. You could probably put up 8 touchdowns on them, and it's still going to look great. So that is my last take on it, bro. I'm sorry, my last 2 cents. But it is frustrating a little bit.
I hear that, bro. Things got to change, man. But we scheduled those games a few years ago, and nobody said nothing.
No. I don't know. Do a better job of projecting, bro. Because they know they need to start having Vegas schedule them games, because them niggas sure know how to schedule them odds for that money, bro. Make sure I can't get none. I know that. So I'm sorry, acting like they can't control the future now.
Back to the ACC. It was Clemson versus North Carolina. Clemson ended up taking them out, man. I'm upset. My boys couldn't get it done, but it was Amarion Hampton still showing out. Like I told you, Cam, 19 carries, 178 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Drake May didn't have the craziest game, especially for Drake. He had a 209 game, 1 touchdown, 1 interception. But he did have 10 carries for 67 yards. So, I mean, Drake was still out there running the ball, still showing why he's an NFL prospect. But Clemson and Dabo just kind of, I think, it's at this point in the season, we're just starting to get a little bit outcoached. We have the stars and the star power, but we're getting outcoached and we're making simple mistakes down the line.
I think you just hit the nail on the head, bro. Dead serious. Like, it just sucks because they have so much talent. We got on the last week. Like, literally so much talent on the offensive side of the ball. Like, they probably do need to get some more, I don't want to say names on defense, because, like, names don't do anything. But, like, they do need to get some defensive linemen. They probably do need some better linebackers. Like, could maybe looking at some changes on the defensive side of the coaching ball could probably help, too, just because, like, it ain't just all head coach and offense. It's defense. They're not giving them a chance. Like, the offense is going out here and putting up 35 points, and they're still losing because – We can't stop nobody from putting up 38. Like, yeah, it sucks. It sucks because it's like North Carolina every single season has just been right there, and they just cannot kick the door open, bro. Like, they're watching every team just kick the door before them, bro. They're just still knocking on it lightly, asking, can we please get our chance? No, North Carolina, you can't. Go home. They'll get it soon. They'll get that. I feel like this is the roster. And they're about to lose Drake May to the NFL, but like, I think they can build around what they got with these young guys right now, get another quarterback in, and finally have that season of magic where they win the ACC. We'll see if they can really pull it off, though.
Man, the next game I want to talk about, the last little college game before we move on to the NFL. I skipped over a few, but I really got to highlight Tulane one more time, man. 10-1, 7-0 in the American Conference, 24-28 against FAU.
Respect
Florida Atlantic.
Respect us.
What more does the Green Wave have to do to be more than 24th best team in the country?
I don't think there's really anything they can do at this point. They shouldn't have lost to Ole Miss. That's what they shouldn't have done.
I was about to say,
they wanted to be ranked higher than
this. They lost to the 20th best team in the country at that time. But, like,
wow.
It's Ole Miss. Like, that's literally a SEC team. We beat everybody else on our fucking schedule, deservedly so.
And that's cute. And you had your Super Bowl at home against Ole Miss, and you let them walk in there and take your Super Bowl away. So you can go ahead and enjoy your 11-1 season from whatever bowl you get to enjoy it from. The Idaho Potato Bowl.
That's so fucked up.
The Idaho Potato Bowl.
Idaho Potato Bowl.
Sorry, y'all. My AirPod died if I cut out on y'all. Man, good season for Tulane. That you just like you said, 24th team in the nation. They probably ain't gonna move us up no high. They might slide us in there at 21 next week to give us the They might bring us top 20 for the top 20 finish. Other than that, good year. We wish we could go back to that Ole Miss game. We were right there, bro, so many times. Can't ask for much else, man. Tulane. Starting to low-key, even you was looking at the jersey, the TV the other day saying the jerseys was high. They starting to win some people over, man. I feel like they could be a sleeper program, bro. I really do. I think they could be one of them teams that just low-key come up slowly or some shit. That's just me, though.
Facts. In the college football playoff rankings, Georgia, Ohio State, Michigan, Washington. Wow.
Damn.
They're in.
First week.
They're in. Dang. Florida State, Oregon, Texas, Alabama, Missouri, Louisville. No movement from 6 to 10, by the way. Just from 4 to 5, just movement right there. And then technically no movement from last week from 1, 2, and 3. Anyways, 11, Penn State, Ole Miss, Oklahoma, LSU, Arizona, Oregon State, Iowa, Notre Dame. Damn, Oregon State technically dropped 5 spots off of that loss. That sucks. Kansas State, Oklahoma State, Tennessee, NC State. Tulane is under 8-3 NC State at 23.
Wow.
Clemson 24 and Liberty 25 at 11-0. In the AP poll, Toledo's ranked 23. And
No, I'm not letting you. No, I'm not letting you get
10-1
away with this.
Toledo.
The battle
ranked in the AP poll.
The battle of the I-75 happened, y'all. Y'all may not know, dog. Look, Ken is a Bowling Green State Falcon. I am a UT Rocket. We were 0-2 against these motherfuckers the past 2 years. We've lost 2 games we should have won. We came out this half, and it looked like we was about to lose again, bro. I was really sitting there like, do they have our number? And it was like the team responded. They got the win back. Thank God. I can finally drive down the I-75 again. Shout out UT, man. That was a real, real gutsy win at home. We didn't let them come dance on our field. That's how you get the job done. I'm sorry. I think we was in BG. I might be capped. But either way. Way to get it done. We needed that. We needed that. But that would have been a soul crushing. All that talent losing to BG again, dog. For real.
I'm so weak, man. Shout out to D-Fin. They did get it done. He did have a great game. Man. But another few highlights in the that AP poll. James Madison is still ranked. They dropped six spots, though. And then Tulane dropped a spot somehow, like for no reason, bro. They're 18th in the AP poll.
Because they didn't beat Ole Miss, bro. Had to drop them again.
That's so upsetting. We're going to transfer over to the NFL. Give me 2 seconds. Let me turn this AC off.
Go ahead, brother.
All right, man. Bengals, Ravens, Thursday night football. A lot of people sat there and were wondering, can the Bengals get it done? They were heating up, like the division was looking warm. Like everybody was wondering. It was all, everything was getting so competitive in the North. Like all three teams were making it to the playoff. Like we were right there last week, bro. Then we come into this week and Joe Burrow gets his ass fucking injured. Cordell, I didn't even bring up you. I'm upset, man. I know he's upset too, man. That wrist injury fucking hurts. Not to mention, Lamar Jackson hurt an ankle. And so did Mark Andrews.
Crazy.
But it's not really about Mark.
No, go ahead. My bad. I didn't cut you off.
No. I was going to say it's really just about Joe. I mean, Joe not being able to finish that game out, he was doing so good too, man.
Joe, no. I was sorry. I placed a little money on Joe this past weekend's over. And, of course, the 1 week I placed on is over. My boy can't finish the game. Not too mad, though. He had a really good start to it. And I honestly thought if he didn't get injured, I thought the Bengals could get rolling and maybe make it more of a competitive game because it was starting to get a little bit boring right there in the middle. But either way, Mark Andrews, that also sucks. Was his season ending? I'm pretty sure it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's another season ending. Thinking. I know I seen on Twitter they were talking about getting rid of some tackle that the defense is doing. I think it's ended like three seasons this year, the hip drop tackle or whatever it is. Crazy stuff going on right now on the injury side of the ball. But, Joe, I'm sorry, not going to lie, but I hope you get better, dude. This is what? The third, fourth? I'm sorry, this is the second season-ending injury that Joe Burrow has had. It's like the fourth injury period, just missing time. At some point, we got to start having that conversation. Is this man made of glass? I'm not trying to be like that. But I guess I just have to be like that, bro.
I'm not made of glass. I'm having some tough time right now. It's not my fault, okay? Cincinnati doesn't have the best training staff, okay?
That's probably true.
Did anybody ever think about that?
What do they say? The best ability is availability, Joe. And you're not available sometimes, dog. So, we got to figure that out, bro.
Word up. This next game I want to talk about, man, is Browns versus Steelers. Right. Another rivalry that holds a lot of motherfucking space in my heart, man. Browns. We are 7-0. We are 7-3. Who would have thought? We're 5-1 at home. We do this shit. Cleveland. Come on, bro. Fuck the Steelers. DTR getting it done. Kenny Pickett was getting his shit mauled by Myles Garrett all damn day.
Yes, he was. My boy Pat Freiermuth came back. Shout out to him. He was my fantasy tight end last year. I think the Steelers fired their offensive coordinator today, Matt Canada. Should have fired him a long time ago. Overdue. But got it out the way. Definitely there were a whole bunch of Steeler fans posting, we finally got rid of this guy, now we might be able to get a first down, blah, 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 blah. It probably didn't need to happen, but this is just, I'm sorry. If you're a Steeler fan, this had to be the moment that kind of drove everything home with this team. Browns just lost their quarterback. DTR, don't get me wrong, he's really good. He has heart. He's a little bit experienced now. He had a good preseason. That's a rookie quarterback, bro, who didn't go in the first round. He's not CJ Stroud. Go out there and get a win. Like, especially Kenny Pickett. Like, you gotta come out here and get a win, bro, and kind of get your narrative. And nice. Let him come out there, DTR, run the table. Let these guys get away with a game-winning drive, and it's you got to look at the offense and just say, like, dog, what else can you ask for? Like, you have a good defensive line. You have one of the better defensive in the NFL, period, as a whole. You get put in position every week to go out there and take the win late in the game, so we can't move the ball down the field. We can't. I know it's not easy in this league, but at the same time, it's also not hard to tell when shit ain't working, so they got a lot to figure out.
Man, you're not lying, man. Steelers, y'all still on pace to go positive. That's all that Mike Tomlin really cares about right now. So just keep it up. Browns, don't lose. Don't lose now. Like, we've got it going on, all right? Bears, Lions is next game I want to talk about. The Lions heating up even more than the Browns are. 8-2 for the Lions. Jared Goff, though, 236, two touchdowns, but three interceptions. Justin Fields comes back and doesn't look too bad, actually. 18 carries for 104 yards. He didn't look great over the air, but he did get it. He ended up got it going. DJ Moore had 7 receptions, 96 yards, and a touchdown. Justin Fields overall was 169 through the air with a touchdown. Only sacked 2 times, but hurried 18 times. So the line is getting a little bit better protecting him, but still not the best, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Not to mention the strip sack with Aiden Hutchinson at the end of the game, sadly.
The Bears had this game in the bag, and it was kind of like a repeat of the Broncos game from earlier in the year. That game, they gave up like 18 points to lose in the fourth quarter. But you cannot take your foot off the gas in the NFL on offense and call prevent defense, because that's what they did. Mm-hmm. And it's just, I seen the Texans do it earlier in the year. They let the Falcons get away with one because they called prevent defense and they just kind of let them dink and dunk all the way up the field. It's like, you can't do, basically what I'm trying to say is, no matter who you're playing in the NFL, the other team is going to be talented enough and they have practiced enough to where they can move the ball up the field if you give them 5 yards every single play, 8 yards every single play. They're going to do it. Like, yeah. You got to make life hard on them. And then just because we take a 6-point lead in the fourth quarter, but like, that does not mean they don't have a chance. But we got to get first downs and keep the ball. We got to keep time ticking off the clock. So just like you just said, but another fucking teachable moment that Justin Fields has to sit here and go look in the mirror and wonder, what did I do wrong this game? And so you didn't do nothing wrong, kid. Like, you literally probably did not do anything wrong. 110 rushing yards. You can't ask a kid to do nothing more coming back from an injury against the hottest team in the league. Like, my boy Justin from work. My boy Justin from work is a Bears fan. That's the last thing I'll say. He's a Bears fan. And I told him, like, I could see the stress in his face. Everybody's making fun of him at work. I told him, like, but that game to me proved that y'all are a good team. Y'all problems start at the top. Y'all have the talent to hang with every single fucking team y'all play. It all starts at the top and the play calling and everything that's going on above what they have in the locker room. That proves it to me. That straight up proves it to me. And then they fucking blow it at the end because of play calls and this, that, and the third. So you said it last week. It's frustrating wanting to see Justin have success like CJ's having, because CJ's having it. I felt that a little bit this week. I'm like, damn, bro, my nigga Justin has to deal with this dumb shit every single week, bro. Like,
you see what jersey we wearing, man? We're not wearing no Justin Fields jersey. I got it in the closet, though.
I can go grab the number one, bro. Don't make me go grab it, bro. Come on.
Oh, man. But, nah, moving forward, though, y'all, we got the Chargers versus the Packers, man. Just another good game. Chargers looked like they were going to get it done, but it was Justin Herbert who just – no, my bad. It was Jordan Love who ended up with a late-game touchdown just getting it done. I was going to say something about Herbert having a bad game, but it wasn't the worst game for Herbert. He didn't throw that pick like he normally does. And he was able to get Keenan Allen involved, 10 receptions, 116 yards, and one touchdown.
Man.
That's almost unseen of. Unseen of from Keenan Allen. Especially these past couple of years.
Man. Oh, man.
It's good to, see. And I know with you being a Packers fan, you got to be happy about that one.
I was not. If I had to bet my money, I was not betting it on the Packers. I'll be honest with y'all. If I was betting my money the rest of the season, I might not bet on the Packers, no matter who they're playing. They went out there. Oh. They handle their job. And, like, I let myself get taken away by what the media was saying about Justin Herbert and the Chargers offense that I forgot. The Chargers have to put their defense out there and stop us. Like, I've totally forgot about that part of the football. So they could not stop our offense from running the ball. On defense, we just made it a little bit hard for them. We gave our offense a chance to win the ball at the win the game, and they ended up pulling it out. Good game. Move on. Good win. I'm not going to lie. I kind of was, like, all in on the tanking. But, hey, if we're going to go ahead and start winning these games out of nowhere, let's go ahead and get it out the way. I don't know where we are as an organization. I don't know where we're going. Mm-hmm. But it does feel nice knowing that we can still beat teams with good rosters because, like, Chargers ain't bad at all. They're not great, but they're also not bad. So, got a good win.
Thanks.
Matt LaFleur, I know he needed that because it's stressful when you're not winning in this league and you're the boss man of it all. So, see if we can keep it rolling, honestly. Like, I hope we just play harder. Like, these last, seems like before this past week, we weren't playing hard at all. So, that's what I want to see as a Packer fan.
LaFleur. Nah, that man, I don't know. The last thing I'll say about the Packers is losing Aaron Jones in that game and still getting the dub. I know they've had a lot of ups and downs with the running back room in there. You just got to surround your quarterback with a few better receivers, and I think things will start to turn around out there in Green Bay.
Probably true.
Moving forward, we got the Dolphins versus the Raiders. And the Raiders, Aiden O'Connell, were trying to give them a run for their money. At least it seemed like it in the first half. But second half, Raiders went scoreless. The score ended up being 20-13.
Okay.
It was honestly one of those days where you thought, like if you look at the stat line, Tua, 325, two touchdowns, one interception. Raheem, 22 carries, 86. And then Tyreek Hill, 10 receptions, 146 yards and a touchdown. Like, you wonder why Jalen Ramsey would have to catch a game-winning interception.
You know, yeah.
With stats like that.
You do wonder. Tyreek Hill had 80 yards on 7 catches and touchdown in the first half of this game. He got hurt, came back, I think caught a few more passes, got over 100 and everything. I don't know if he caught a second touchdown. But I do know he got hurt for a little bit, so I know the game script was a little bit weird. I feel like we're at that weird point in the NFL season where, like, it's not really – I don't know how to explain it. Like, every game matters. There's always a lot on the line. But, like, this is kind of the part of the season where it's kind of like, we're coasting right now because we know it's about to get hot in these next, like, 3-4 weeks. Like, it's about to be It's about to be playoff chases happening, about to be those second divisional games coming back around. So like, I feel like this was kind of one of those weeks where we just kind of got not subpar performances from anybody, but just kind of, you know, players loafing around. The stars weren't really starring it up out there. A.J. Brown had a quiet week for the first time in forever. C.D. Lamb didn't even really get it going too crazy in cowboy uniform. Like, a lot of quiet going on this week. So I'm sure they'll pick it all up back over these next few weeks. We'll see how it all goes, bro. Like, it's not frustrating, but it is just weird watching weeks like that where you're like, bro, what? Why do I feel like all these teams are just kind of coasting? Players aren't really just moving like they normally be moving. It's like you realize, this ain't really competitive yet. Give them 2-3 weeks. They'll definitely get out there and start popping these pads again.
So the next game I want to talk about, man, a divisional game. We had Giants versus Commanders. I thought Sam Howell was going to be able to go in there and get it done, but he ended up throwing 3 interceptions, man. And Saquon Barkley had a great day through the air. Great-ass day. Let me see. Right here, y'all, he ended up with, on the ground, he had 14 carries, 83 yards. But DeVito was able to hook up with Saquon for 4 for 57 on 2 touchdowns. Out there doing his thing. And he got one to Darius Slayton. Tommy DeVito, a whole different man. 246 for 3 touchdowns than he was last week. Is the New York Cinderella kid ready to go now?
He might be. Glad they could get Saquon going, though. Dead ass. Because obviously, anytime you get Saquon going, it just reminds you what you got back there in the backfield.
For sure. Sam Howell, though, I do want to say just the 255, 3 interceptions, 1 touchdown. It's not good, man. He was out there throwing the ball to Brian Robinson again, out there throwing the ball to Logan Thomas. Anybody but Terry McLaurin, for real, it feels like. Just wild.
Wow.
But moving forward, man, I want to talk about these Cowboys and Panthers. Cowboys, 33-10, the Panthers. Dak Prescott, 2 touchdowns, 189 yards, nothing too crazy. Tony Pollard, though, 12 carries on it. Oh, no, that's 61 yards, not 161 yards, excuse me.
That's a lot of yards.
Yeah, really wasn't that crazy of a day, but I want to say it was a defensive game for the Cowboys on this day because
Deron Bland got his 4th pick-6 of the year.
Okay. That's what I thought. I think he got 2 of them in one game.
Whoa. No, bro.
No, that's not true. He ties the record, though. That's what it is.
I think I seen they interviewed him about it or something. He was saying, I forget what they asked him. Something along the lines like, do you prepare? Do you know coming into a game? Or no, sorry. They asked him, do you know after you catch the ball, you're going to the crib? Or is it just like, it doesn't hit you till it's all over? And then he basically said something along the lines like, man, like once I catch that ball, man, I know I got a nose for the end zone, bro. But like, it is always crazy when you cross that plane and you realize, like, damn, bro, I just scored a touchdown, bro. Like, I was weak on God. Did kind of let me step in his shoes for a second. Like, you know what? It would be crazy intercepting the ball on defense. Trying to get to the end zone, bro. Like, it's not easy, bro. So you got to give him his clout for that. Dak didn't. I don't think you said he threw an interception. If he didn't, that means we had a masterclass from Dak once again. It's 2 weeks in a row. And Tony Pollard, for some reason, bro, to come in as hot as you did, to come in, okay, I'm a biased Ohio State fan, but a lot of people were ready to run Zeke out of the door because of the way you were running in those games last year. And this year,
thanks,
we probably gotten maybe 1.5, 2 performances like that from last year. Like, I understand when Zeke's in there, you get a whole different, you're fresh, you're this, that, and third, you get a different look. But it is just like, but you're 61 yards, like, are we even being utilized in the pass game at this point?
From me,
I guess what I want. Let me
check.
I want you to be used to your full potential. Like that's when I look at players, that's what I really, really like. I'll say it like this. If I'm roasting a player or hating on a player, if it ever sounds like that on here, it's because I think that player is either not working to his full potential or being used to his full potential. He's just one of those players where I'm just like, bro, Tony, like, you just did all this for the past 3 years and literally, like, took spots, changed the narrative in Dallas. Like, it used to be Dak and Zeke. That was a duo. And now it's Dak and Tony. Where's Tony? Like, I'm sure we'll find him soon, bro.
Next, Titans, Jaguars. Jaguars taking out the Titans. Trevor Lawrence bouncing back from a shitty week he had last week with 262, two touchdowns, ETN, 14 carries, 52 yards. But it was Calvin Ridley with 7 receptions, 103 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Woo! And that was the divisional game.
Everybody but Travis Etienne game. Good game for the Jaguars. They bounced back from the game with the 49ers. The 49ers laid a fucking beat down on them. But I did say against it was kind of how I felt going. Sorry. I felt it against the Chargers for the Cowboys the week after they played the 49ers. The Cowboys' offense could not get nothing going. The 49ers' defense was on fire. They were motivated to beat them. They laid the beat down on them. So the next week, the Cowboys came out, and they looked like an offense that just went up against a good defense and was thankful to be on the field with a defense that wasn't as good as the one they just seen. So I feel like that happens with a lot of these teams that play against San Fran. You play against them, you get your ass turned up real quick, and then you go back to the film room and you say, okay, this is what we need to do, this is what we get better at. And you go up there the next week, it's probably going to be a worse defense out there than San Francisco. There's not a lot of good of them. So you have a good game, like they did, get these stats. I wish my boy Travis Etienne could have got involved a little bit more, but I'm not tripping on it. Good win. They're still silently, quietly sitting there to win that division. Y'all better not let them do it, bro. Y'all better not let the Jaguars win the division before y'all do.
They're 7-3, man. One of the hottest teams. Speaking about one of the hottest teams, another win for C.J. Stroud going up against Kyler Murray. C.J. Stroud did throw 3 interceptions this game. A bit rough. That's definitely going to hurt the stats towards the end of the year. But Devin in the lab was picking up the slack with 22 carries, 112 yards and 1 touchdown, and then it was Tank Dell with 8 receptions, 143 yards and 1 touchdown, man. Can these Texans be stopped?
I don't want to be biased and just like everybody else and say CJ Stroud's this, that, and third, because he is, and we all know that. I do think the Texans can be stopped. Like, I've watched a lot of Texan football this year, and it's almost damn near a spitting image of the Ohio State football team last year. Like, or sorry, that CJ Stroud was the man of his second year, and it's a offense with some good pass catchers, an okay defense, and a quarterback that can literally make any throw ever drawn up to man. He's reading every defense the right way and throwing into crazy windows, like, to the point where they're going back on replays and showing people, look at the window CJ Stroud just fit this in. Like, they're doing that on the broadcast now.
Facts.
You can't. We got into the whole breakdown last week of what he's good at is truly crazy. I don't think that he will be stopped. Like, I think this is a new normal. Like, CJ Stroud throwing for over 250 probably is going to be something we see every week. It comes down to, can the coaches get the most out of what they have? Because they have a ticket, like a ticket to build a real deal dynasty around. They have all the cap space in the world. Like, they found something on accident that I hope they were ready to find. You get rid of Deshaun Watson, the way it went down, everything. You take the name tarnishing, being the Houston Texans, blah, 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 blah. You just found your chance to get all that erased with one player. Literally, one pick less than 5 years later. You got to do the most with it. So keep winning games. Keep playing like this. I think a lot of teams are about to start watching this film CJ Stroud is putting out there, they're going to start throwing him way different looks because, like, he's way further ahead than what any other quarterback, to me, in the besides Pat Mahomes, in the game right now is. Like, genuinely. Like, just what as far reading the field and making the decisions part. Not even the numbers, not the stats, not who he's beat. But just watching him from the pocket, I don't see anyone else but Pat doing better than him. That's my last word on it.
For sure. No,
I don't think they can be stopped.
There might be a man doing better than him by the name of Brock Purdy. And that's
what we're
about to talk about right now. Brock Purdy playing up against Buccaneers, Baker Mayfield, and them. Brock went 333 yards for 3 touchdowns.
Okay.
Got Ayuk involved for 5 receptions, 156, okay, and 1 touchdown on the weekend. Man, oh man, was it a good day. George Kittle, 8 for 89 and a touchdown. Debo Samuel even came back at 3 for 63. And Christian McCaffrey was 5 for 25 with 1 touchdown.
Sheesh. Said 5 for 25.
Yeah, they did pretty good, man. Yeah.
Hey, sick.
Baker Mayfield, 246, 1 touchdown, an interception. Typical Baker game. But I think when you see the Niners, like, firing off how they were, especially with that defensive line they got going on now, there's no way they're going to lose to a team like Baker and the Buccaneers. No offense to Baker. I know I brought his name up first, but it's just you're going to need Tom Brady back on that team if you even want a shot. And even then, I doubt that could have even saved them on this day.
Yeah. Yeah. Brock Purdy had a perfect passer rating. It's the first in 49er franchise history. That's a franchise that had Steve Young and Joe Montana at quarterback at one point. But outside of that, another good game for the 49ers, another good win for the 49ers. They're back in the win column after a few tough weeks. They didn't take loss last week, but it was not pretty last week. That's as pretty as they wanted it to be. So to come in there, 330 yards, 3 touchdowns, more than enough we needed from our quarterback, and he's back in the good side of people's hearts again. Like, there was a little, I think I said it, I don't know if it was last week or 2 shows ago, but I said we're in that part of Brock Purdy's career where he has to answer right now. Like, this is the first bad stretch, and that's what I'm waiting on with C.J. Stroud. Like, C.J. Stroud is going to have a stretch of, like, 5 games where it's just 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, all bad, and everybody's going to be sitting there, we told you he sucked, look, he's ass. And you come back out, you have 330 yards, 3 touchdowns, perfect passer rating, and tell everybody, yeah, look at that, bitch. So, good game for Brock. Got his get back. Hopefully they can keep on that roll and they don't go on no more cold streaks, because we get into that part of the season where going on a cold streak could keep you out the playoffs.
Speaking on a team that might be kept out the playoffs, Josh Allen and the Bills going up against the Jets this week. 32-6 in them. 275 yards, 3 touchdowns, 1 interception from Josh. You can book him at this point. I know you won your fantasy league, but I also know you had Khalil Shakir last week, and I know you dropped him because I seen him in the fantasy waivers, and he had 3 receptions on 115 yards and a touchdown. So I'm just wondering, like, how many fantasy points did that yield? Because Jesus Christ, Khalil. Is Gabe Davis injured or something?
I genuinely don't believe I had Khalil Shakir last week. I had DeMario Douglas from the Patriots, and I think I still had them.
That's 2 weeks ago you had Khalil?
I don't think I ever had Khalil. I knew he was going to I was betting on Khalil. I was betting on him, but I never picked him up. Oh, God. I should have been picking. I did not know he was available in our league. I thought somebody would have picked his ass up by now, but
picking him up now.
He put his phone out. Look, bro. Man, I was telling you when it happened, because we obviously had a show and everything, it had it happen. But the Bills did also just fire their offense coordinator, Ken Dorsey. And they moved up Joe Brady, who was the offense coordinator for LSU when they won the national title with Joe Burrow. Y'all remember all that. So basically, you feel me? He came in, he got the ball running through James Cook a lot more, which is what they needed to do from the jump. It was a lot more dink and dunk. He didn't let Josh, motherfucker, still threw an interception. But he tried his hardest to not put Josh Allen in position to throw a pick. So Like that is what every single person who watches the Bills has been asking for, bro. Like everything. Run the ball, take it out of Josh Allen's hands for every single throw, because he doesn't need to throw it every damn play, and just get first downs. The one time they do it, they beat the team that has had their number for the past 2 years by 3 scores. So it's just, it's so, people don't really value the offense coordinator or the defense coordinator or the running backs coach or the quarterback coach. Like, bro, those hires matter just as fucking much as the head coach. So you're the person that's in charge of the offense. And sometimes, bro, all you need to do is get rid of that one person for everybody to kind of all right, we reset. We're here. This is what we're doing. This is the new game plan. All that shit is leave that in the past with him. That went out the door with him. Let's have a new team, new offense, and that's what the Bills did. Got success. We talked about it last week. They got to win 7 in a row to even have a chance to make the playoff. That's one. And you got the toughest part of your schedule coming up. So we'll see how it all plays out from here.
All right, man. Got to move forward. Rams taking on the Seahawks. Rams actually getting the dub. Oh, Gino, you cannot lose these simple games like this, brother. Rams have nobody. They weren't even throwing it to – they didn't even get able to throw it to Cooper Kupp all like that, man. Mm. They got Freeman running the ball instead of Henderson. I don't know which is wild to me. Mm. I picked up Darrell Henderson in my other league thinking he was going to get the touches this week. And, of course, they give it to Royce Freeman, not even Devonta Freeman. Like, bro, come on.
That's funny.
Come on, nah. But, like I said, Matt Stafford getting it done out there. Puka Nacua, 5 receptions, 70 yards, and a touchdown. That was just enough to get it done, man, even though – DK on the other side was 5 receptions for 94 yards and a touchdown. So, Gino, Pete Carroll, y'all can't lose the baby ones to this is the that was a divisional game too. Like,
yep.
Still think Gino and them will be in the playoffs one more time this year, but moving forward, I don't think they go forward with Gino after this season.
I don't think so either. I don't think they should. I'm not trying to write Geno off, but I do think I'm in the middle on it. I think this second half of the season definitely has a big – he can earn his spot. I really do believe that. He's done enough where I feel like I got to give him a chance to earn it. But at the same time, no, it is like, okay, if you don't show me like you can – you haven't had that X-factor game yet. You haven't had that 300 yards, 3 touchdowns. You haven't had your Brock Purdy get back game. So, you feel me? You had the game where they tried to write me off. I didn't write back. Now, come out here and you write them off real quick. Throw the ball all over the place. Get some rushing yards. Do that. We'll see if we see Geno in Seattle in the future. I think they'll move on too. They got crazy fucking receivers and a running back right now. They need to get a new guy in there to get the ball to those people. Other than that, losing to the Rams is tough right now because you don't – it felt like last year when Geno did what he did against the Broncos and you beat him and then you went on your little run and then you got almost to the playoffs. It felt like we are in such a good spot as Seahawks fans, the organization. We have a future, and we didn't have to sacrifice anything for it. All we did was sign this Geno kid and let Russ go, and, like, we're here. And, like, we had this year, and it's kind of like Tyler Lockett's been underwhelming. DK's been hurt a little bit. Jaxon Smith-Njigba didn't really get rolling until these past few weeks, and even then, he's been a little bit underwhelming. Kenneth Walker III has been a little bit underwhelming. The line hasn't been healthy. The defense has been a little bit suspect. You got all these problems, bro, after a year where you just were sitting there telling people you didn't write back. Man, feels like where did all the time go? You know? I think they'll figure it out there. Great coach. We were just talking about him last week. But figure it out, guys. Figure it out. It's a lot of figure it out this week.
Not lying, man. Vikings Broncos, speaking about figuring it out, Vikings were just figuring it all out. But then I really thought they won the end of the game. I must have been tripping, bro. It was Russell Wilson getting it done with a sensational go-ahead touchdown at the end of the game.
He can't lose.
Solidifying, 3 weeks in a row, beating some of the hottest teams in the Chiefs, the Niners, and now the Vikings, Broncos, country. Let's ride. Like, bruh. You love to see that, though. Cortland Sutton did have a better game. He almost masterclassed his way to beating me in fantasy, but it wasn't enough, man. Thank God. Can't take any more losses this late in the season.
Screw the Broncos. I'm sorry.
Speaking of a team who can't afford to take losses, Monday night, last night, it was the Eagles versus Chiefs. Eagles end up getting it done, even though the Chiefs were in the driver's seat that first half, but scoreless in the second half. Pat Mahomes throwing an interception, only going for 177 yards and 2 touchdowns. Jalen Hurts able to run one in the third, and then a tush put. He actually had a 41-yard. He had a 41-yard reception to Devontae Smith that set up the tush push touchdown that ended up giving them the game winner. So, and I'm not even going to put it like that because the Chiefs were still in position to win the ending of that game, but it was Marquez Valdez Scantling, whatever you really want to call the guy, who just, like, honestly, the ball was in his hands. He caught it and just dropped it. He put it on the ground before he could get possession. I don't know what happened. I don't know if he got too excited because it was the game-winning touchdown or what, but he blew it. No other way to put it. Kadarius blew it early in the year, and Valdez, you just blew it right then and there. We gave both of you guys Super Bowl rings last year, and I'm not sure why.
I think, if I'm not mistaken, I said last week, at some point, we got to get some new receivers in here because what's going on in Kansas City, sorry, I forgot where the team was. What's going on in Kansas City at receiver is a crime right now. With having Mahomes and Travis Kelce as a duo, they need one more receiver. There's one more. The reason why, and losing Tyreek Hill hurts because he was the perfect receiver for the system. But bruh, Juju Smith-Schuster was not it. Like, he's not. Kadarius Toney is not it. He's not. I don't even know. I'm pretty sure we started the beginning of this season when they signed Marquez Valdez-Scantling. I knew he was not about to be shit. I told you he's not about to be shit. You said, oh, come on, bro. He's Marquez Valdez-Scantling, bro. He can do something. Bruh. Cutting costs at all costs is going to cost you at some point in the end. And the Chiefs tried to cut costs at receiver. And you know what it did? It cost them. It cost them beating the best team in the league this week. They would have been hot. They would have been rolling in the next week, feeling good about themselves. And now you got to go watch film and watch this motherfucker drop this pass in the clutch and wonder, if I throw the ball to Marquez Valdez-Scantling in the clutch ever again, is he going to catch it? Now Pat has to think about that next time, bruh. You don't forget that. Ridiculous. Can't believe it. I thought the Eagles were going to win. I'll be honest, I'm a hater. I'm an Eagles hater. I'm waiting on Philly's downfall. I cannot believe this team has lasted this long with this weak-ass tush push. Like, it's not that fucking hard. Just stop the run and watch them fall apart. They obviously have A.J. Brown and Jalen Hurts on the back end, but nobody can take them off their schedule, and that's why they win games. The one time the Chiefs had them against the wall, Marquez Valdez-Scantling drops the ball. They get a dub. Oh, well, football works that way sometimes. We'll see if those two teams meet up in the Super Bowl again. I don't think they will. Think the Eagles just got their payback. I honestly think that's the game the Eagles need to really feel like a Super Bowl champion right now and go into this playoffs with all the confidence in the world. They got the Cowboys. They got the Bills. Well, they're about to play the Bills. They got the Chiefs. They got damn near everybody on their roster. Everybody on their schedule, they got out the way except for one team. So, you feel me? All the confidence in the world going into this next half of the season. Let's get that out the way. Let's roll into these playoffs. Let's keep smacking these teams. Salty. Salty. As an Eagle hater, I'm salty. Not going to lie. Come on, Chiefs.
At least A.J. Brown didn't do nothing, man. 1 for 8 out there. Just a bad day for some of the stat lines. I mean, Chiefs, like I said, we need y'all to just get these type of dubs. Like, you look up and you ask Andy Reid, what was it all for? Now he's out here shooting commercials. Travis has too many commercials. Pat has too many commercials. The breakup has finally started to come out now. I don't know if him and Taylor are still together. I haven't seen her out of the game in a minute. It's just all bad, man. The Kelce brothers didn't even really get a jersey swap in.
Wow.
Are they? No, I'm just playing. They probably did, bro. You know how it is. But that's going to wrap it up, man. That's the last thing except for Masterclass of the weekend. We got none other. My pick has got to either go to Brandon Ayuk or Brock Purdy with the perfect passer rating. And Brandon Ayuk with the 5 receptions on 156 yards, probably doing the best out of all the NFL players this weekend. There were some close calls like the Tank Dell game, the Khalil Shakir, but it was really Brandon Ayuk and Brock Purdy standing out for me, at least.
Think I'm going to go ahead and give mine to none other than only because they put the camera on him at the end of the game and he started crying because it was his first game winning drive in the NFL. None other than Dorian Thompson Robinson from the Browns. You deserve a good win over the Steelers. First in the division, I believe. Might be first in the AFC. Either way, crazy. Dorian Thompson, your stats ain't there, but the narrative is. You deserve it, kid.
I didn't know he was crying, man. I'm not giving it to no crybaby. DTR getting it done for the Browns against the Steelers, man. Hometown hero in the making. Deshaun goes out. Probably won't see him for the rest of the season. Things are starting to heat up in the NFL. There's so many more weeks left, though. There's 7 more weeks of the regular season. It almost feels like a mini season in itself. And then we got the postseason. You already know things are getting live. I'm thinking we're going to see the Eagles back in there. And if we don't see the Eagles, you can book the Niners in the Super Bowl, man. You heard it here first. Week 11. It's going to be crazy, man. I can't lie. We got Thanksgiving games, Thanksgiving slate. Watch out for the Lions taking out the Packers, man. O-H-I-O. We got rivalry week this weekend. You already know what it is. I could keep talking about it forever, man. Y'all see the logos. You see the jerseys. It's about that time, man.
I prayed for a sign last week. Jim Harbaugh, stolen.